Blog Talk Radio.
You'll never quite know what you'll hear next on Team of Voices. This is Team of Voices. I'm AP Taylor, and that was none other than Harry Belafonte in one of his lesser-known tunes, a Mango, a Coconut, and Sugarcane. And it's one of those songs that you listen to and just think, really, a few more words might have helped. Mango, sugar, coconut, sugarcane. It's driving me insane, and they keep on repeating it. I thought it was a pretty silly line to start with, but it gets 10 lots of repetition. Anyway, we are doing Mangoes today, which is why I played that eminently silly song to start with by Harry Belafonte. Harry Belafonte, of course, incredibly well known as a singer, actor, and activist. He only passed away earlier this year and was still singing in concerts earlier this year. So quite a remarkable individual, and the first African-American to win an Emmy for his 1959 TV special, the first person to have a million-selling LP by a single artist with Calypso, basically broke down a whole heap of barriers. And why I like Harry Belafonte personally is because he went on The Muppet Show and had a very close collaboration with Jim Henson and was the only musical star that actually showed up to Jim Henson's funeral. And there was a great respect there and a wonderful singer and person. So we are on the wonderful world of mangoes today. And I have with me the wonderful Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
P, how are you?
I am well. Thank you. So we have had yourself, Deb, find a mango poem, and we've had a poem by yourself and a poem by, I think, Bill Schiller has sent a mango poem. And we've got one from me. So I think what we might do, Deb, is do the classic mango poem verse that you found. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
You know, so this is one that was on All Poetry, and Deb did her research and came up with it. So this is The Mango Tree, and this is from a poet called Charles Kingsley, who was born in 1819. And he went on to write and become, he was the son of a church minister, became a church minister himself a bit later in his life. And one of the famous suite of English poets from the early 1800s. And this is The Mango Tree. And it goes a little bit like this. He wiled me through the furzy croft. He wiled me down the sandy lane. He told his boys love soft and oft until I told him mine again. We married and we sailed the main, a soldier and a soldier's wife. Through many a burning plain, we sighed for many a gallant life. But his, God kept it safe from harm. He toiled and dared and earned his command. And those three stripes upon his arm were more to me than gold or land. Sure, he would win some great renown. Our lives were strong, our hearts were high. One night the fever struck him down. I sat and stared and saw him die. I had his children, 1, 2, 3. One week I had them blithe and sound. The next, beneath this mango tree, by him in barrack burying ground. I sit beneath the mango shade. I live my 5 years, life all o'er. Round yonder stems his children played. He mounted guard at yonder door. 'Tis I, not they, am gone and dead. They life, they know, they feel, they see. Their spirits light the golden shade beneath the giant mango tree. All things save I are full of life. The miners pluming velvet breasts, the monkeys in their foolish strife, the swooping hawks winging nests, the lizards basking on the soil, the butterflies who sun their wings, the bees about their household toil, they live, they love, the blissful things. Each tender purple mango shoot that folds and droops so bashful down, it lives, it sucks some hidden root, it rears at last a broad green crown. It blossoms and the children cry, watch when the mangoes, apples fall. It lives, but rootless, fruitless I breathe and dream, and that is all. Thus am I dead, yet cannot die, but still within my foolish brain. There hangs a pale blue evening sky, a furzy croft, a sandy lane, in poem. Well found. A sort of whole life lived within the branches of the mango tree. that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I liked it. It was like the things that happened throughout his life, from his marriage.
Yeah.
And the children and everything in between, and it somehow for them ties to that mango tree. So I thought it was a very cool poem, and you read it beautifully, as always.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and well-rhymed and nice rhythm and an interesting sort of reflective sort of poem. So, anyway, and I had to reflect, Deb, because I was thinking about the theme for next week.
Aha.
I was thinking about the theme for next week, once we get past mangoes. And I was thinking about a phrase this time rather than just a single word.
Okay, sounds intriguing.
Yeah. So what I was thinking, I'll get what your reaction is, and then we'll see if we go with it, is I was thinking, don't dream it's over.
Pretty cool.
What do you think? Don't dream it's over.
Dream it's over, you're sort of predestined to be, like the power of suggestion type of thing. So yeah, I think there's a lot of ways that one could go. Don't dream it's over.
Don't dream it's over.
Like, don't dream, period, it's over. And it could be like, dream on, it's not going to happen. So yeah, I guess it could go a bunch of different ways, I think.
Yeah. And if we have that as the theme, we have a ready-made piece of music, Deb.
Do we now?
Because Crowded House have a song called Don't Dream It's Over.
Aha.
Aha. Crowded House, a great New Zealand band in the 1990s. So often pinched by Australia, but they're not. They're actually New Zealanders. So nice that. Good, really good band. Really, you know. And a great song, Don't Dream It's Over. Yeah. Really, really cool song. Yeah. I'll give you a couple of bars. There is freedom within. There is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. It's really nice. Great words. Really like it. Anyway, there you go. Next week, after Mango, it's Don't Dream It's Over. And we will be playing the Crowded House song.
We will, because I'm actually downloading it as we speak.
There you go. See? We'll be playing the Crowded House song, because that's what we do. Anyway, we should go to the videotape, Deb, and get your mango poem next. So let us do that and put it up on the board. And I should too apologise for my tardiness in getting to the AP Taylor poetry competition judging this month. It just seems I've, every time I turn around, I've run into another bug or problem this month, but it will be judged today. So I know it's probably a good couple of weeks after it should be, but my apologies for that. No, it's okay, Deb. We have your poem up on the board.
Okay. Headed there now. Okay. Alrighty. All right. This is called Moonlit Mating Songs of Love. Found a really beautiful picture that was colored to shades of mangoes, so here we go.
Lovely picture.
From power lines, the gray birds croon neath mango shades that mark the moon. And as they sing sweet mating songs, a bell in the church steeple gongs, ringing symphony sounds of night down neath that mango-tinted light. The sky wears hues of mango, too, adding color to horizon's view. stripes of orange, red, and yellow. All the pigments on a mango. End poem.
Very neat. Lovely color. I love the image, Deb. I don't know where you found that, but I love the image. And so that's really very cool. And it does have that distinct sort of mango color.
Everything from the fruity middle to the skin. I put one in the author's notes so you could see. But I just out of curiosity to see what might come up, I Googled Mango Moon, and that was one of the options. And I saw the birds on the wire. This one was sort of written to the photo, you know, the power line. Birds, so like, yeah, because often you see them, like right before rain especially, all lined up on the electrical lines.
Yeah, you do. You do. It's very neat. It's very neat. I agree. It certainly has the shape and the color and the poem sort of picks up that sense of color and shape and mood. It's really very nice. So, no, I like that one, Dick.
Thank you much.
No, I like that one. I think that's got some style to it. It was funny actually because I was saying to one of my friends that I was doing a show on. Have you ever seen a horse eat a mango? And I'm like, no. Do horses eat mangoes? And they go, yeah. They basically sort of go and sort of chomp off one end and then sort of manage to skin it and then just eat it, eat the whole thing. I was like, really? And they're like,
Wow.
I'd sit there and watch horses eat mangoes all day. And I was like, really? Fair enough. That's cool. Never thought about that before. Never, I didn't even think about horses eating mangoes, but apparently they do. So,
well, eating them is one thing, but skinning them themselves is pretty talented.
Yeah, well, you think about how to get... I mean, mangoes aren't easy to get into, Deb. You know, you've got to open them up and score them and all that sort of rubbish, but apparently the horses just sort it out. So there you go. Interesting.
Where
anyway,
there's a will, there's a way, I guess.
Well, exactly. So now we have a poem by Bill Schiller, who sent it into the board. So I should read that, I think, Deb.
Probably a good idea. And while you grab that, I thought we would give a shout-out to Hatter. He's got his surgery coming up, and he's in a lot of pain and looking forward to it being done and over with. So feel better, Hatter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, anything involving the hand is very painful. And, it's obviously not very pleasant, but needing some surgical intervention. So, yeah, get well, Hatter, and we'll catch you when you're back from all of that. So, meantime, Bill Schiller with Madam Mango, and it goes a bit like this. Beneath the shade of a mango tree, we sat like two frogs on a log. It was as if one waited for the next to hop, inexperienced as virgin farmers unable to harvest crops. A ripe golden mango dropped at our planted feet. We peeled away its skin to suck the sweet meat. With nectar dripping out down our chins, I saw her, she saw me. Neither of us predicted true that fruity snack was a potent aphrodisiac. What sin that shade gave witness. Her skin was sweeter than mango and twice as succulent from that day forward. As I moved closer to the grave, I've been reminded of the hours in that tree's tempestuous shade. I eat a mango every day. My virility is not basic about mangoes. What it did for Bill, obviously good things.
I like his title too, Madame Mango.
Yes. Yes. So, I didn't know mangoes was, had those properties, but then, you know, everybody's different, Deb. I've learnt in this world. Everybody's different in this world. You just, you know, have a look at what goes on and whatever rocks your boat, as they say in the classics. So, anyway, okie doke. So I think it's going to be a short show today. Short show. Sorry, Deb.
The part that got me there in the middle is we peeled away its skin to suckle the sweet meat with nectar dripping down our chins. I saw her, she saw me. And although for me, it's peaches, but there's nothing quite like a piece of fresh
yes.
fruit right off the tree, warmed by the sun. And
oh,
yeah,
no,
it does. It's down your chin, no matter how careful you are, and you just don't care because it's that
yep.
good the day it's plucked.
Agreed.
This was really
agreed.
Cool.
So I think we're going to have like a pocket trip today, Deb. I think
yeah.
it's going to be like a half an hour type show, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. And we will, after I've done this poem, I'll come back to you for what's coming up this week.
Well, I have a thought on that.
And
it's up to you, though. Since I know that you worked your tushy off to do this poem based on another poem, I wondered if there was a chance that you would read the other poem so they know what inspired this one, if you're not up for
it. No, well, we can do that. We can do that. Unity, really.
That's what I thought.
So let's,
I was actually just
yeah.
writing that in your inbox, but now
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, good. See, look up the poem in question, the poet in question. I'm not sure. I'm actually looking at a copy. I think I sent it to you, of The Man from Snowy River at the minute. This is a real first edition of the book. And there were only 1,250 that were made. And this is one of those 1,250 from 1895.
What did you decide on the one you sent the photo of?
Haven't yet.
Did you
I'm still getting some valuations. Yeah, yeah. I'm just seeing. I mean,
negotiations.
Yeah, they're not.
All right. Well, for everyone
yeah,
else, I
not,
put the all poetry link for The Man from Snowy River on the chat box.
Lock it out. Well, let me roll through that. This is it's about a 6 minute. 6 minute, 20 second poem read, give or take, about 1,100 words. This is the very famous Man from Snowy River from the 1895 entitled book by A.B. or Banjo Patterson, and it goes a bit like this. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away. And had joined the wild bush horses, he was worth £1,000. So all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight. For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle to light. There was Harrison, who made his par when Pardon won the cup, the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever horse and man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins. But never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. He learned to ride while driving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse undersized, with a touch of team or pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameless in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. It's still so light and weedy, I'm a Doughty's Powder Stay. And the old man said, that horse will never do. For a long and tiring gallop, lad, you'd better stop away. These hills are far too rough for such as you. So he waited, sad and wistful, only Clancy stood his friend. I think we ought to let him come, he said. I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end, for both his horse and he are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hooves strike firelight from the Flintstones every stride. The man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere yet such horsemen have I seen. So he went away, and they found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders, boys, go get them from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them, try and wheel them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills. But never yet was rider that could keep the mob in sight if once they gained the shelter of those hills. So Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the ranges ring with the stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash, but they saw their well-loved mountain full in view. And they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. And then fast the horsemen followed, where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread, goes and they fiercely answered back from the cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where the mountain ash and courage on grew wide. And the old man muttered fiercely, we may bid the mob good day. No man can hold them down the other side. When they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild scrub grew thickly and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes. And any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock for ground and gave a cheer. And he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the Flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timbers in his stride. And the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy barks and saplings on the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went. And he never drew his bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the farther hill, and the watchers on the mountain standing mute saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. They lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies meet in the ranges, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam and followed like a bloodhound on their track till they halted cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home and alone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur. But his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot. And never yet was a mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the plying clad ridges rise, their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze, at midnight in the cold and frosty sky. And where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide. The man from Snowy River is a household word today, and the stockman tells the story of his ride in poem.
You know, it doesn't matter how many times I hear you read that, the fact that he's your favorite poet and the joy you get in reading his work shines through every single time you do it.
It's fun, isn't it? Fun bomb.
Yeah. And I think that it's because it brings you so much joy that you're able to go through those over 1,000 words in no time flat. It just flows. And it still blows me away that that's a poem from the 1800s. And I have no doubt that you go anywhere in Oz and say the man from Snowy River and everybody knows who wrote it. And that's a legacy.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, certain the first and the last stanzas are very well known, and so it's sort of part of the lexicon here, which is kind of fun. So people use words interchangeably in there, but it's such a fun poem to read. It's got brilliant rhythm and rhyme, and it's a joy to read. So anyway, there you go. That was that. So we now turn.
In the last few words of that poem, you happen to mention the sky, sky, sky.
Yes.
And if you look at the studio, yes, you'll see that Sky is here, and she brought a poem for you.
Ah, lovely. I'm very excited by that. I can see. It's Vanilla Fields. And
yeah, it's a little sultry, but I thought it was not too bad. I had to look in my inventory.
I was reading to see if you'd come into the place. So we're very welcome to you. So Deb, is Sky going to read this one for us, or have we got? That's really cute. It's a little brevity.
Yeah, I think she's going to be live, but I don't see a recording.
No. So, Sky, would you do us the pleasure of reading your piece for us?
Absolutely. This is Vanilla Field by Sky Darkholm. There are white calla lilies painted like stained glass, a window breached to your soul. It is there, it is here, amongst opal petals you bloom, the scent of vanilla fields and salted sand pirouetting on tongue, an aftertaste of mango sweat and cinnamon stock. And poem.
Really interesting. I know what you mean by that. Mango has a very distinct sort of flavor, and so does cinnamon, by the way. It's quite subtle, but it's sort of that sort of powdery, sort of almost peppery type sense. It's very nice. I like that stuff. It's very good. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Vanilla Fields?
I really like this one so much so that I gave it a bronze medal there. I like the what was that? I thought at first how delightful it would smell in a vanilla field. It would be like, oh my goodness, just gorgeous. And then
yeah,
her line, a window breach to your soul. There's just something so potent about that line. I think that's the line that captivated me as I read. The scent of vanilla fields and salted sand pirouetting on tongue. And sometimes the smells in the air are so strong and potent that you feel like you can taste them. So the fact that she had it pirouetting on tongue was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I like the playful, sensual feel in it as well. So I'm glad you pulled this one out. Great share, Sky, Sky, Sky.
Thank you so much.
And I don't
That's
know if you're
neat.
Sticking around, but if you have to go, you want to tell us what's coming up first?
I am going to go. I'm working on a project. I'm actually not on next week. So my next show is the first week of, have a break. My next show is the first week of September. I mean, October. Oh, my gosh. The first week of October, Storyboards is going to a team of voices. It'll be the first time the show is featured there. It's going to be on Wednesday instead. It's going to be every Wednesday. And we're starting off with Star Wars Volume 20-something now. I think it's 24. And we're doing the Lego Tales of Terror. And if you like spoofs and you like humor, it is hilarious. And I have clips in there. They do like a spoof on Lost Boys. It is hilarious.
Oh,
so
really?
Have fun with it. Yeah. And the clips are in order, too. And there's like Darth Hideous. And it's hilarious. It's Lego Star Wars, but it's really, really funny.
Well, there you go. I even know, guys. I'll have to have a look.
Sky, I have a quick question before you hang up. Totally off topic. Remember that you might have even already been asked this, but remember that time that you pushed Lemon Icy in the middle of my show because you thought you were on your show and you were in the wrong studio?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember a ballpark time frame for that?
No.
Do you remember if it was one of your shows or you were just at a show for Steven and pushing the button?
I think it was probably one of my shows because I think it's one of my shows, but Steven and I tend to get really over, like, get excited about the buttons, and we both start pressing them, but I'm pretty sure I only press buttons a lot during my shows, so it's probably on my show. I mean, I could figure it out. Is there a reason why?
There is, because Steven's downloading his episodes from Slice, and he would like to pair it up with the episode that we had to sort of feature the fact that it happened on both shows simultaneously and the fact that we thought we were on, couldn't figure out what, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to find it.
You called in after, so it was one of my shows.
Yeah, we called
shows.
You from our
studio.
I know Heather and I in there, so that might have been a Saturday or even
Saturday.
A Monday show. So, but I don't think you did Monday shows, so...
No, it had to be a Saturday. No, because I did Saturday. Yeah, I'll think about it. Yeah, I know he told me he's downloading them all and doing all that. So I'll think about it. I feel like it was a while ago.
If it was a Saturday, it would have been before AP started doing them with Hatter and I on Saturdays. So
I reckon that's right.
So that narrows it down a little bit. So just let me know if you get a better time frame so I can try to find it. At least now I know it's Saturdays, but I still have a lot of those.
All right. I will it's definitely
Thanks.
One of mine, so I'll think about it. All right, thank you. Have a great night and enjoy your mangoes.
Thank you.
And
okay, we will. Thank you.
Thank you, Sky. Love and respect. Sorry about that, AP.
No, it's all good. It gave me a bit of time to get my breath back because I'm about to do another poem about as long as again. So it's slightly less than the Man from Surrey River, but not much. This is The Man Goes from Castlereagh River, and it goes a little bit like this. There was a swaying of the breeze, but nary yet a sound. Here teams all gathered round and stopped away. So the mangoes this year were worth $10 a pound, so buyers had gathered from near and far away. Within their private jets, or more humbly in a car, they were on the old dirt runway by the night, as purchasing executives will look both far and near to extract a cheaper price, as is their right. There were supermarket buyers which held the volume cup, arrived in a Learjet in full show. Few could match their resources when the sun was fairly up, but near the farms were reviewed by vines so they would know. Then there was the export agent who regularly took a stand. He had positions forward in fruit and grains, and his computer word with beads in a display grand. Years ago, his parent farmed these Wisen Plains. There was one slouching on a fence, hair greased, but a simple check shirt and faded jeans surmised, widened by the sun deeply creased, with a broad smile that lit up those near beside. Not far away, his trusty ute and would never fly, yet history on his side and his worn boots tread. In his head he held a history of 30 years gone by, all the beer and spirits a shade at nose thread. But supermarket buyers and their corporate colours bay said, this bloke's a waste of space, this here blue. We've not got much time, not much faster day to understand and then resolve the storming brew. Yet then the export agent piped up for his old friend, won't let him come along, what's to lose, he said. He comes off the land not far from Boundary Bend, it's well connected and he bleeds, these fine soils red. He hails from Coonabarra Brand, near the drover's ride. The trees are scrubby and the poor soils are tough. Where the Castlereagh flows, the pillager scrubbed the side. But he's made it a success and knows his stuff. So with little bit of wave, off they set to roam. In planes and new sedans, they departed the scene. agreed to meet back in person, not by phone, in 48 hours, with all the information gleaned. Blue waited for all the dust to clear from the jump and for all the engine to recede within their row, grabbed his contacts, his lubrication within the sump, and started making calls to find out the why and how. Meanwhile, the flyers at the wide east coast in sight and soon were in Bowen on a farm amongst the hills. The export agent searched the World Wide Web for insight, both convinced to know the issues and flash and girls. But the knowledge on the ground was soon to sting. Issue had been months earlier when flowers and trees lace, temperatures too warm, and so all the insects on wing failed to germinate trees. So smaller yields left to trace. For these producers who had trees or with a stash sought money for fertilisers to increase the yield base to grow more mangoes and cause the price to crash and get the product breaking volume seen from space. The export agent sealed his forwards in positions black, took markets in India and cut those that drifted to red, and knew despite the weather his portfolio would stack wherever the rain and humidity this year led. And in the plains it dawned was decent money here to pay. Well, no guarantees, the problem fixed beside. The hefty checks soon off spinning the farmer's way within their skin had a sense been taken for a ride. In no time all returned as agreed to their original beat, with the buyers happy with their positions to blues confide. You don't look you've moved one step in this heat, told you a waste. One under his breath did deride. Well, he drawled, do you want to know what I found? To no one in particular, he aimed a raspy voice spent. I suggest you boys in Navy here gather round, as I have a deal, I believe, that's 7 cents. So you have a lack of flowering plants bearing steel, I bet you just threw money at the problem and thought Butte. They hit you up as costs had increased past your offers until they're off buying land cruisers and counting loot. And this will always be the way unless flowers are set. You'll get taken after the season reveals. Each and every year you are taking a bet. Meantime, these lucky farmers will your money steal. So that's as may be, Blue, one grimaced as anger shone. What's this deal you've got that we can get back? The answer is bees. From those top businesses here I now own. And for 20 mil, you can have half and be in the black. Furtive, the glances as calls were worked on the spot. Blue had roped in all the Australian hives, bees and fur. Completely up to you. The price doubles on midnight's dot. If after today my contacts lay again after work. And from his new Land Cruiser, he watched the stars rise, his bank account balance now 8 figures high. But he has stayed on the Pilliga where galaxies they graze, the rough scrub, as they go circling on by. While the enterprise continues on today, native bees are growing fast and high as beside. Still his smile is as broad, mangoes are sweeter, buzzing with pride. End poem.
You know, that's just mind-blowing. And I have to giggle that you put with apologies to Banjo in your title because
yes.
I really don't see where this needs any apologies. I think that he would be flattered by the fact that you wrote it in his style and even incorporating some of the sounds and stuff like that. I think that all the research you did to make this shows, I think that all the details and the conversations and the visuals, there's even like a playfulness in it. There's a, as far as I'm concerned, a tribute to the bees inside. And then, you know, if you, there's a, where is it? The answer is bees in those top businesses here I now own. And for 20 mil, you can have a half and be in the black. And I think that you had mentioned at the time it, for them, for people, or for the farmers and stuff to do better, they could have invested, I believe you said, $1,500 in the bees to make a difference.
Yeah.
And it seems like such a low cost for what you'll yield. So, like I said, I see no need to apologize to Banjo for this because it's amazing, packed with information. And I think I said this to you, it's an EIE. It's entertaining, informational, and educational. And that's not really easy to do. Not many have the skill to entertain as they inform and educate. So you did that splendidly here, and you read it almost as much pride as you do when you read for banjo. But that's because for some reason in your mind you needed to apologize. I don't know, but I think it was magnificent.
Well, yeah, no. Well, banjo is banjo. I did use banjo's end rhyme signature, so that helps give it that sense of the same sort of rhythm. But it was really interesting. I didn't know until I started doing some research how ridiculously complicated it is to get mangoes to actually become mango. I just sort of thought it was, you know, reasonably straightforward. And the more I looked at it, the more they started to talk about the effect of weather and temperature at certain times and rains and humidity and the interaction with moths and bees and bats and all sorts of different things that get involved in the process of making sure that a mango comes about. I was a bit blown away, actually.
Yeah.
Guilty they're only $2 each, but when they've got a good season. But there's a hell of a lot that comes together to make a mango, and the poem sort of captures that, which is good.
Yeah, and I think in our conversation before the poem, you were kind of inspired to find out why it was so expensive for one mango.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what the thought of that one expensive mango drove you to uncover. And it's really so much information. And with all that, it's a little still hurts the pocketbook, but it's a little more understandable why it's such a pricey item.
Yeah,
and sometimes
I don't know
how long it takes from point A to point B to get that piece of fruit.
I really came away with a far enhanced understanding of you know the complications of actually growing this growing a mango and what was involved in it and you know, I wouldn't have done that if we didn't have the topic. I wouldn't have gone away and understood that. So that's kind of a nice thing when you do writing like this, that if you can take the time to go away and learn a few things as you go, which I did here. So. But,
like I said, it absolutely came out splendid.
We need to talk about what's coming up this week.
Yes, sir, we do. Well, as we often do, we have off tomorrow, so we'll give you plenty of time to write for the first two shows coming up next week. On Monday is the last show of September that leads us into the what we call the Halloween month of October. So I figured we'd start it off with a little bit of dark and a little bit of light, so the topic next Monday at 10 p.m. is angels and demons. And there's a whole bunch of amazing art that I had been collecting that gave me the idea. And you can go with the angel side or you can go with the demon side. And some of them are a little mixture of both, like an angel who chopped off her own wings to go to the dark side. So thumb through the art and see which one speaks the loudest to your muse and take it wherever it leads you. And that'll lead us into the last show that sends us into October. Again, it's 10 p.m. Eastern. And then on Tuesday, it's the monthly edition of Off the Rack, Flying Blind with Raconteur. And his topic is embroidery, embellishment, or exaggeration. And he begs the question, when you convey a story to your friends, do you stick to the facts, embellish the details, exaggerate for emphasis, skew a story by omitting the useless parts? How do you embroider events? How big was that fish? I mean, really? That's also at 10 p.m. on Tuesday. So there's the next two shows starting Monday night. I hope you are inspired. Just click on the topics, which are all listed by the date of the show, and you'll find out what that particular host for that night has in store for you.
It's a beautiful thing, Deb. Thank you. So I was thinking we might go out with a song by the Beatles. They didn't do anything on mangoes, but they did do strawberries. So close enough, you know, fruit and all that. So I'm going to play that, and then we'll meet again next week for Dream It's Over. And thanks to Skye for calling in to yourself, Deb. How to get better. And thanks to Bill for putting the palm up on the board. And we'll catch everybody next week.
Great show, AP. Love and respect, everyone.
Thank you. Oh, no, it's always good fun. And we'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel. Meantime, here are the Beatles.
Let me take you down.
We will be back with Don't Dream It's Over next week. Until then, have a great week and we will talk soon. Bye, everybody.
See you in a half hour. Bye.
Oogie doogie.